Welcome to Ripstop on the Record, a podcast where fabric enthusiasts and DIY gurus discuss all things make your own gear, with the occasional poor attempt at comedy to keep it interesting. I'm Kyle Baker, the owner and founder of Ripstop by the Roll, and we're excited to have you listening.
Hey everyone, welcome to Ripstop on the Record. I'm Jameson.
And I'm Avery.
In today's episode, we will be talking about outdoor ink. Now, whether you know what that is or you've used the outdoor ink tool a million times, we're going to go through and help you understand a little bit better how we make outdoor gear more colorful. So Justin is our outdoor ink extraordinaire, and he's going to help us go over the custom design tool. If you don't know what that is, then this is a place where you can go in and basically choose anything you want on most fabrics. We have over 30 fabrics from packs, quilts, shelters, clothing, all sorts of different fabric applications where you can put a picture, a color, a graphic, anything you want on to your gear and make it whatever you please. So we're going to talk about that soon, but first, a few updates.
So we recently released a new product, which is the 3.4 ounce nylon Taslin Supplex. And if you haven't seen that, you definitely want to go check it out now. It's a great technical apparel fabric, great for shorts, hiking pants, lightweight jackets. And we also, in conjunction with that, released the Learn MYOG DS shorts. We have a bundle and also a digital pattern. So if you're interested in getting a paper pattern and the digital pattern, go for the bundle. But you can also just get the digital pattern and print it out at your house. So definitely check that out in the show notes.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser to 1 week from now, if you're listening to this on the release day. But August the 9th, we will be releasing our second new custom apparel fabric, the 5.2 Airwave 4-Way Stretch Ripstop Nylon. I think I got all that right. Yeah, it's a mouthful because it is an amazing product and there's a lot going on there. So I'm not going to read you the entire product copy, but it's from our Airwave line, which is an air textured yarn. So it has an amazing hand feel, 4-way stretch so that it breathes and moves with you really well. It has phenomenal texture. So it doesn't just kind of clam to your body. It has a ripstop pattern, a ripstop grid, which gives it some structure, but also, like I said, kind of improves that intentional texture on your skin so that it breathes better and moves really well. It's a great fabric. We've had people testing it for a little while now. Comes in awesome colors that also match the Taslin in a few of them. So hint, hint there. But this fabric's going to be awesome. We're really stoked to release that. And that's coming out August 9th. So make sure you go check that out as well. So that's pretty much it for updates. As always, please like, rate, comment, subscribe. Let us know how we can help you and how this podcast impacts you or doesn't. If it makes you irate, then let us know that too, because that's also kind of fun. Anyway, let's get on to the main part. All right. Welcome to the episode, Justin. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
We're glad you're in person too. We don't have to record you from afar.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. So we're here to talk about outdoor ink and the potential it has, but also some tech tips on how people can get the most out of their print. But to back it up, you were a part of the creation of outdoor ink from the very beginning. And as a designer, this is pretty close, a close passion of yours to see outdoor gear become more colorful. What was it like to pioneer the service for us?
It was one of the most interesting experiences I've ever had, to be absolutely honest with you. And actually, this kind of rolls into the background question. So I used to work for Guilford Mills. I started in the textile industry 23 years ago now.
Oh, wow. I'm old. Not dating yourself or anything.
And I remember one day the GM of our plant coming in with this sublimated printed stuff that coming in from overseas. And he's like, we're done. I mean, seriously. And the company was dead like 8 months later, nine months later. And so the opportunity to bring that back into the industry is really nice, especially having a domestic based.
So it kind of came full circle for
you.
Yeah. Like it killed your company and then you started it elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that was exactly it.
That's wild.
You were the first employee here at Ripstop by the Roll. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the changes that you've seen since you've been employee number one to fast forward the next 7 years?
Well, I mean, when we first started, we were in a extra room in Kyle's parents. And then we had a storage space, and then we had a fulfillment center, kind of like Amazon, and they messed up orders left and right. And then we went from this really tiny space to a really bigger space to, what are we at, 70,000 square feet? Something like that?
I don't remember
It's massive.
Yeah.
This building is massive. It's surreal.
Yeah. Now we have 17, 18, 20 employees. I don't remember now.
I mean, it's like very much like watching my kid getting ready for college. We have gone from this to huge. It's insane.
I know this story, but I think it would be fun for others to hear. Do you want to tell the story of how you were hired by Kyle?
I actually don't know if I've heard the story.
So I was running a cottage vendor company. Where I was just selling stuff on the side and doing graphic arts and doing stuff like that. And
what'd you make?
I was doing like hammock chairs and
no way.
Stuff like that. Underquilts for the hammock chairs. And yeah.
More on that later, but continue your story.
And I bought some gear from Rips Up by the Roll that we were starting. He had started selling stuff on different internet forums, you know, doing group buys and stuff like that. And I participated in those, getting fabrics cheaper. And then one day I randomly get an email saying interest in position was literally the subject line.
That's a great email.
And it's a, you know, it's, I've never hired anybody before. I've never, you know, I don't know. We're just starting. I don't know how this works, but we'll figure it out as we go. And I sat there for 2 weeks going, what the hell do I say to this email?
You didn't respond for 2 weeks.
No, I responded for 2 weeks, but it was more like asking questions. Yeah. I didn't give an answer. It was more information, please. But yeah, that's how it started.
And you're from New York.
Yeah.
Still live in New York. You're a totally remote employee. And this time you're still totally remote. Like you hadn't met Kyle in person or anything yet.
I was working for the company for 2.5 years before I actually met Kyle face to face.
Were you surprised when your first check passed? You were like, is this a legit company or have I just decided to work for somebody that's like embezzling money from?
Here's my hours and am I getting paid? I got paid. Cool. Okay. Here's week two.
That's hilarious. So I actually didn't know that you were a cottage maker before this either. So you used to make hammock chairs, hammocks, stuff like that, right? Yeah. What kind of hammock chair did you design? Now I'm interested.
So it was just a standard like yard and a half. Mm-hmm. The original design that I had worked with that we kind of benched and I'm still messing with was an actual full hammock, but it folds in half. So it can be a convertible hammock chair pull into a full hammock.
2-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Man, that's fun. What was your company called?
Hound Dog Hammock Gear.
Do you still make stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Decent amount? Are you primarily in the hammock spectrum or do you bridge out to like backpacks and accessories and duffels and stuff now? What do you?
No, I don't sell anymore.
Sure.
But all my stuff is like Tenkara related. I love Tenkara fishing. So.
All right. We're going to talk about this offline, Justin, because I also need to get into fishing this year, according to Isaac and Tim. So this just got a lot more interesting, but we've already deviated far away from the topic at hand. But so let's get back to Outdoor Inc. and what this means and how we can help people out here. Part of our ethos as a company at Ripstop is helping people not settle with basic gear, but get the gear that they really want or the gear that they really dream of. A large part of that for us is integrating the custom printing, helping gear not just be gray and green and, you know, all the colors that I wear and like, but making it actually be interesting with pops of color and patterns. One of the first questions we get asked is, you know, how many or what fabrics do we print on? Can we print on packs and shelters? So, simple question to tee all that up. How many fabrics do we print on?
Currently, I think we're at 34.
Okay. And what's the range of fabrics like, just for people who don't know?
There's everything. There is quilt fabrics, ultralight quilt fabrics. There's Dyneema. There's, you know, the technical fabrics like Dyneema and Challenge and X-Pack all have printable options. We've got like heavy duty military type, you know, bushcrafting type fabrics.
Basically like 1000D Cordura kind of deal.
Yeah, but it's, you know, our 1000D Airwave and our 600D Airwave. We've got a breathable material in that line, the 600D Polytwill. Yeah, basically you can make almost anything with fabric weave.
Stretchy stuff like flow mesh.
Yeah, the flow does stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, that is really our only stretchable printable fabric.
Okay.
You know, it's a wicking shirt that a lot of people use, or wicking material people use for shirts and
leggings, jerseys.
Like that shirt behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that people on the screen can see it. So one of the biggest questions we get is nylon versus poly printing. There's a similarity with all of those fabrics. Tell people kind of why we can print on some things and we can't print on others.
The printing process we use is dye sublimation, which is designed specifically for printing on polyester materials. The nylon fabrics just don't take the colors as vibrantly. So we currently print on two different nylons. We have the Monolite, and we do print on the 1.6 Hyper D because it is one of our most popular fabrics. Neither one takes color as vibrantly as any of the polyester offerings, but they're still good prints. People like them. They're, you know, the 1.6 Hyper D is a very popular option for printing.
Yeah. And that Monolite is really cool because it still is see-through. Like it's the ultimate mesh where it's stronger than most meshes, see-through, but breathable, but also kind of water resistant.
Yeah. It's surreal to make a hammock out of that fabric. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen, I don't think I've seen many things printed on Monolite. I didn't remember that we could print on that.
Yeah, it's not something that a lot of people opt for, but.
Speaking of colors, how many color options do we offer?
For Omnicolor right now, we offer 1,260 colors.
Wow. So every color in the rainbow, and then some.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, variations of every color in the rainbow.
Speaking of colors, not only do we offer Omnicolor solid colors, but we also offer different prints. So tell us about how many different prints we offer, and I'd love to know which ones are your favorite or favorites.
They're all my favorite. I mean, I don't make art that I don't like. If I had to pick a favorite, I'd say Trout Doodle is by far my absolute favorite. I mean, it is simple, but I look at it, and every time I see it, I want to go fishing. Currently, there are 500 and change patterns in the design tool. We offer a lot. I mean, we've got a dozen different categories of fabrics.
And those range from simple patterns like topo, one of my favorites, or topos, depending on where you're from.
Northerner.
Topo patterns to some crazy stuff like coloring book, like the bottom of my coaster here, if you're watching the video, and hopefully everyone's seen coloring book. But there's pretty much everything in between. Repeatable patterns, individual images, yeah, so photography.
We've got a lot of camouflages that are in the public domain, like Flectarn, Digicam, military patterns like the M81 woodland camo. We've got like Van Gogh's Starry Night. We've got the Mona Lisa. We've got Great Wave, which is really popular.
Yeah. So we mentioned how we have 1,260 colors, and we mentioned how we have over 500 patterns and 34 fabrics now. But for people that have not clicked around enough, or maybe they just don't know and they're hearing about this for the first time, how do you go and select one of these colors or patterns or fabrics? There's a couple different ways that we do that. So let's start with one. If you're going to make a hammock and you want to print something on it, how would you go about making that a solid color? And then next we'll talk about patterns.
So for a hammock, you would want to figure out how long your hammock's going to be, and you would go for a solid color. You would go to the Omnicolor section of the website and find the color that you would like to print in.
So pretty simple. Just like if you're making a normal hammock, you're going to need to know how many yards you want, and you're going to go to the Omnicolor product page, select the color. How do you know what color you want?
So we have color maps that we really recommend every customer order, because the color is going to look different on the screen than it is in real life printed in front of you. And the best way is to see the color swatch.
Yeah.
And those color maps too are specific for each fabric, right? So you can get a color map on whatever fabric you're printing on to most closely match it.
We do offer the color maps on every single fabric. If you're not sure what fabric you want to go for, but you actually want to look, the 1.6 ripstop polyester is, we call it our flagship, Yeah, that's what we do all of our testing on. It is going to give you, I mean, the colors are going to be identical for the most part across all the fabrics. You know, things like Hyper-D will have a different sheen. Uh-huh. So they'll look slightly different, but.
Cool. It's a good baseline to go off of to match colors with if you're unsure you're printing on Dyneema or Monolite or one of the other 32 plus fabrics that we print on. Cool.
So what about patterns? If someone wanted to print coloring book on their backpack, I don't know, making up options here, how'd they go about ordering that?
For that, you'd want to go into our custom design tool. We have a gallery in there with the 500 and change patterns loaded into it. You can actually search for the pattern by name, and you can scale it, you can rotate it, you can do whatever you like to it and see what it's going to look like on the fabric.
One of my favorite things about that is the ruler function, which helps you.
Yeah, so if you're doing something like the topo pattern and, you know, it loads in, it's 50 inches wide when it first loads in, the lines are huge. You're not going to want that printed if you're doing a small project.
It's one line going across your wallet.
What is one of the coolest custom prints you've seen? I know that you're very hands-on with Outdoor Ink, and you always have been, and helped charge this initiative, but you also are very hands-on with each print that gets sent through. So you've seen a lot, probably every single custom print that's ever been uploaded. Is there any print that is memorable or is stuck with you for good or for bad?
Definitely bad. I'm not
keep this to yourself, Justin.
No, every once in a while we get customers that try to print things that they're not able to, you know, because we do screen the prints.
Such as like inappropriate things, or
we do get inappropriate things, but we also get things like licensed IPs and
Disney trademarks,
and you know, thumbnails stolen from other websites.
Blown
up to try to print, and
the opportunity is so great, people just get too excited.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, you know, you guys are going to have to cut all this, but I can't even say the names or the patterns of the coolest prints we get going through because we can't.
Yeah. What are some of the coolest applications of your patterns that you've seen?
My absolute favorite is the Dragon Scales pattern. 5 or 6 years ago, we had a customer make a infant's hoodie, but it was made out of the Dragon Scales pattern, and then it actually had like the spikes going down the back, so it looked like the kid was wearing like a little T-Rex outfit.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. That made that entire pattern worth it.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love that. That's adorable as well. What other, I'm trying to think of some of the ones that we've seen the most, but I mean, the work that you've done for printing like allowed stuff like that Nashville pack that's hanging up there, even like if you're going to come visit us at Trail Days, the banners that are printed, those are printed with Outdoor Ink, and the stuff that Justin made, this logo is printed because of the work that Justin has done to make Outdoor Ink happen, not to mention the countless ways that we've used coloring book over the years now. That it's literally countless.
Actually, one other tidbit is the absolute coolest thing as a designer I've ever seen is like walking down the street to New York City and seeing a pack in one of my patterns.
Did you really?
All the time.
No way.
I've had it happen in Maine, in New York City, Florida. It's just like randomly there's, it is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm used to seeing my artwork on like websites and
RMYOG Reddit,
my stock photography and news articles and, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, to just walk down the streets of Manhattan and see, you know, coloring book going across on a backpack is like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's
surreal.
It's extremely surreal.
That's really fascinating. So you've done a lot of designing, and all the patterns that you find in our tool are ones that you've made. How many more patterns do you have in your repertoire that aren't in the pattern or aren't in the generator now?
We currently have 1,600 patterns, and we've only released about a third of them on Ripstop Other. And I'm constantly generating new art because That's what I mean. Even during meetings, I will sit here. You'll watch me in a meeting on the Zoom meeting, and my hand's doing this.
That's a new pattern.
I'm not necessarily a new pattern, but a new idea or a new, you know.
So we've debated talking about this question, and I wonder if this is one of your answers to this question. But having watched outdoor fabric printing now for, I don't know, 8 years. I don't know when we started this.
We started out during 7 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been watching this for 7 years and you've seen the evolution. Recently, we released custom printing on DCF or full roll color printing on DCF. What are you most excited about for the future of outdoor ink?
The next big thing that we're going to be working on is custom printed samples. And that is just going to open the floodgates for customers because it's no longer going to be a, you know, $100 gamble on what your print is actually going to look like. So you can see it, you can see what your colors are going to look like, and you just, yes or no.
So you get a full proof, basically. That hammock that you wanted to print out in dragon scales, you get that fabric
well,
in
get,
dragon
you
scales.
You get like a 5-inch by 5-inch swatch of the fabric because once you see the print, it completely changes the game. You see it on the internet and it's like, okay, yeah, that kind of looks cool, but what's it actually look like when I look at it?
What would you say are if you were to distill all the potential benefits of outdoor ink and custom printing on outdoor fabrics, distill that into like someone saying like, why do I really need to print on outdoor ink versus just like buy another black pack or brown bag or a green duffel bag?
You ever been to a hammock hang where everybody's got beige and green hammocks?
Is it like crawling into the wrong bed at night?
Oops,
sorry.
I remember, you know, 7-8 years ago, before we actually hit the gas on this, going to like some of these larger events with hundreds of people and looking on a sea of greens and browns going, crap.
Which one?
Where am I?
Yeah,
you know, it's like
you could have just put an Apple tag on it.
An
air tag on it.
Those weren't around then.
Not then, but
That's a great point. I mean, I don't know if that's an experience that a lot of people have, but I would imagine you probably saw that a lot in the AT.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you through hike, everyone has a bear bag. I mean, there's certain gear everyone has, right? It's pretty simple. You have a backpack, you have a tent or a tarp or a quilt. Yeah. Everyone's got a food bag. And I will say 90% of people have the same blue Z-Pax bear bag, which I've told this story before on probably like episode 12. I'm just ballparking that there, so don't hold me to that. But my best friend and roommate through hiked in 2019. That's a lie. That's the wrong gear. It doesn't matter. But I made her custom printed bear bag with her late grandmother's artwork. She was a watercolor artist and had Justin help me mirror the image. So it was kind of like a tree lake scene. And then it became this like really trippy mirrored artwork piece that we had printed on 1.43 DCF. And I made her this bear bag, but I knew that it was going to be a hit on the trail because I knew that she was going to have the only bear bag that was not blue DCF from Z-Pax. And, you know, you hang your food up at night. You don't know which bear bag is yours. So I think there's a lot of benefit, especially just like with stuff sacks and packing your gear. It's really easy to know this coloring book stuff sack is my first aid kit. And this red Omnicolor sack is maybe your food bag. Even when traveling, it really helps organization. But also when you're out with a bunch of dirty hikers and you're at the laundromat and mixing your stuff up, it's really nice to know that like that is my stuff sack.
And even if you're into the simple colors, like there's like I'm not a super loud color person or pattern person. However, there's always a time when I'm looking at something, I'm like, I love this, but I wish that were a different color. Cause like, I'm still picky enough. Like I'm looking at like a pack. I'm like, oh, I love like this aspect, but I wish the bottom matched like the color that's accented on the pockets or something. Without the ring, you can still do that. I mean, that's why Omnicolor exists, because I can still choose like the exact shade of Coyote Brown that I want.
I do have
to deal with another one.
I have a funny sidebar to this story of being able to pick a custom color. Obviously, I run the social media for Ripsop by the Roll, and I get to see a lot of fun things. And this was probably, man, at least 6 months ago, but someone had one of our color maps and they wanted a custom color. And for some reason, they wanted to match it to a carrot. So they custom color matched the color of fabric they wanted to a carrot. And then they tagged us in it of like what the code was for carrot color. And for some reason, that just really tickled me pink. But I love that. So if you're like, I love the color of your favorite chip bag and you really love Cool Ranch Doritos and you want to match that to your gear because your trail name is Cool Ranch Doritos, then you can make that happen. If you match it to a food, let me know. I want to know what color matches to... Yeah,
what color is a Dorito chip?
Yeah.
What is the RGB
color? You can do that.
To get us back on track a little bit, Justin, recently we made the switch from Pantone color base to RGB. Can you give a fairly brief segue for why we did that and how it helps the users now be more successful?
The main reason we made that is because it's a lot harder to design in Pantone colors. I mean, most design now happens on like an iPad. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people aren't necessarily using Illustrator, which is the big one that uses Pantone colors. They're using, you know, Procreate or Affinity Designer or stuff like that. And Pantone's just not an option there.
Yeah. Makes sense. Super, super simple. Definitely streamlines the process.
Okay. So let's get into some more of the technical tip questions, which is something that I know you answer all day, every day, Justin. Beyond the patterns that we offer, our customers are also able to upload their own designs and their own photos. What are the file requirements to be able to upload your own design or photograph?
So for the file size, you need a file that's about 65 megs is the max that you can upload. JPEGs and bitmaps are the two most common files. It doesn't take, our system will not accept things like vectors. Unfortunately, that's just a limitation on the system and we could never do that. Our minimum requirement for printing is about 150 DPI. That's actually the slider on the website that tells you the quality of your print stops at 150 DPI. It'll go into pour below that.
And just to hop in here, for people who might not know, what does DPI stand for?
Dots per inch.
Okay.
So it is the number of pixels that make up the artwork.
Perfect.
So for someone just that doesn't really know what 150 DPI means, could you print a photo from your phone?
So the resolution is going to be really dependent on the model. Like I've got an iPhone 13 Pro. I can probably make like an 18 by 18 inch print straight out of what comes out of my phone. Huh. And it'll look nice. You'd need something else like an upscaling software or something like that to make it, or a better camera to... You know, totally. Do a higher quality print.
I also should have mentioned this when I started talking about tech tips. Say that 10 times fast. Yeah, right. But a lot of these questions correlate to help desk articles that we have. So I'll be sure to put these help desk articles in the show notes. So if you want to have your question answered more thoroughly or even read about it after you listen to the episode, you can go to the show notes. I'll put all the articles there and yeah, you can have that for future reference for some of these questions that we're asking.
So people are looking at the color map. It's kind of overwhelming. There's 1260 little boxes there.
Yeah.
How do you use a color map and how do they generate an answer from that?
So we implemented a grid system on the newest color map. The original version, the first version we did for the Pantone did not have one, and it was chaos.
Brutal.
yeah, because it was I liked one fifth in from the left, and no. So you look at the color map, and, you know, you start with the column, and you look at the row, and I want A5. I want, you know, Z6. Uh-huh.
We should play color map bingo one day.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It might take us a whole week to get through the 1,600 colors, but...
Yeah.
We could set a Guinness Book of World Records for the longest Gingo. Oh my gosh.
That sounds like something you shouldn't say.
The bingo game. That's our new record. So within the design tool, you're able to upload your own image like we've mentioned. You're also able to pick your own design from the design gallery that we have. But can you go into a little bit about how to scale the image if you want that image to print larger or smaller, especially talking about topo, like you mentioned earlier, sometimes maybe if you're making small gear, you want it to be scaled smaller, but if you're doing a larger project like a tarp, you want it to be larger. So how does someone go about scaling an image within the design tool?
So all of our stock patterns that we have in the design tool can actually be doubled in size. They all load in due to how the tool works at half the resolution, half the size that they're supposed to be. So if you load in something and I wish it was a little bit bigger, you can do that with our prints. And there are text boxes on the right-hand side, to enter in your desired height and width, and you can lock the ratio. You can unlock it if you want, like make it want to squish or, skew it or whatever. But I mean, it's really simple.
Do you want to mention the ruler function that we have on the side that people can?
So this is something that we actually do get a lot of tickets about is I didn't expect this to print so big, or I didn't expect this to print so small. On the top left of the design tool is an option to view it at 100% so that you can actually see the artifacts, the individual pieces of the print and the ruler to see how big they are.
Makes sense. How do you optimize printing on nice fabrics like Dyneema? I mean, you could be investing a large chunk of change and it's totally worth it, but you want to be sure when you're working on a nice laminate. What would you suggest?
Order a color map. That is the entire reason we went to the RGB system, is so that you can take those colors into your program and you can know exactly what it's going to look like.
One tip that I'm stealing from you, Justin, is where to view your color map. One thing that you've told me is it's best to view it in natural light, which makes sense. Obviously, your gear is probably going to be used outside.
Yeah, you view it in the light that you want it to be in.
Another question we get asked about a lot when we print on all these fabrics, such as 1 ounce DCF and X-Pack and some of these nicer fabrics, people will ask, does it affect the performance at all, the tear strength, some of these things that these fabrics are known for?
No, especially with like the DCF fabrics, we have worked with them extensively to make sure that our process does not damage the materials at all.
They have to proof them, right? Like we have to send them proofs of the thing.
That when we bring on a new laminate from like DCF to print on, we print on it and we send it to them and they do all the testing and they approve it. And if they don't approve it, we go back to the drawing board.
What about our other fabrics? Stuff like Hyper-D, Monolite, our in-house fabrics, what sort of protections do we put in to make sure the performance isn't hindered at all?
We completely test all of our fabrics, and we especially real-world test our fabrics. Before we launch something publicly, we make stuff. We make sure that it works. There's a picture floating around somewhere in our blog of a 1.6 polyester hammock with like 2,000 pounds floating in it. I think it's concrete bags or something, or rolls or something like that. I don't even remember.
I was hoping we rented an elephant for the day or a llama.
What about UV? Is there any, the sun will degrade anything, but how does it?
The sun will degrade anything, but magentas and cyan colors definitely fade faster. None of our materials are designed to be in the light, full time. You're not going to put a tarp out and leave it up for the entire summer. You're going to ruin both the fabric and...
But I guess the point that I'm teeing up badly is that if you get something printed, it's not going to fade really any faster than any other color would if you were to buy a stock color.
No, not at all. You're
going to all the same. Cool.
Is there any lasting thoughts or comments that you want to tell the listeners about Outdoor Ink?
Keep coming up with cool patterns. We've got we get new ones that come in every day that's like, wow. Logos. I love seeing logos. I love seeing people printing logos for whatever they're going to make, because you couldn't do that before. it was a patch or a button or.
Yeah. Well, from everyone in the MYOG community, thanks, Justin, for making Outdoor Ink happen and for the work that you do to continue to make technical fabrics be able to be printed on. This is pretty sweet.
Yeah, thank you.
Woo!
We're ending with that.